Hey everyone, it's Sophie. Thank you for checking out today's episode. I want to let you guys know two things. One, we recorded this last week and had a little bit of a technical issue, so finally we got all of the footage secured. Second of all, today is the last day to submit your bracket for GLU March Madness. You can find all of the info for that on our Instagram. Check it out. Instagram.com/girlslikeusshow. You have until noon to submit your bracket. Good luck, everyone. I've got a clover in my locket and cherries in my Sprite barrel. Plenty of fish in the sea.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Girls Like Us. We are the podcast that asks the question, what does a degree in literature get you? With the answer, a podcast about children's books. Sophie, I hear tell of a DM that we got today.
Yeah, so I actually have to kind of come to the red table for a minute and issue a retraction from something, actually a piece of content that appeared, I guess, in our first ever episode. So an episode that we recorded 18 months ago. I do have to issue, I guess I would say, like, a factual retraction, as if I'm, like, putting kind of my reporter hat on for a minute. So we said, and I'm not sure of the exact wording, but we said in our first episode something to the effect of, nobody who has read The Click and engaged with The Click on, like, a deep level as an adolescent has ever kind of, like, been invited to and, like, zealously participated in an orgy. And I kind of said that pretty boldly, and then I remember at the time you stepped in and said you had been invited to a threesome, but you didn't participate in a threesome. A foursome is, that's totally different business than a threesome, so I can't even believe I misunderstood.
It's a different dynamic.
Right, and because we have so many new listeners, shout out to our new listeners, there's a lot of y'all who are going back and listening from the beginning. To those people, I say good luck. but somebody sent us our first ever voice message over Instagram DMs saying that they totally disagreed with my, and I'm willing to own that it was me making this statement, that it was not
Thank
Franny.
You. Keep me
somebody disagreed with my assertion about the Click and its relation to orgies. And this person basically said that they can draw a pretty firm line between their engagement with The Click and their enjoyment of orgies subsequently in adulthood. For the reasons, and this person, like, they came with facts and sources in this 4-minute voice message that they sent me. They said that basically, like, The Click was, like, their first toe dip into fandom, and then fandom kind of led them to the world of fan fiction and, like, shipping and reading about, like, kink and different sexual predilections in fan fiction, which then led them to, like, participating in orgy. So to that person, I say, I'm sorry that I misrepresented you and that I made a kind of a sweeping assumption about all people who stan The Click. And yeah, that's about all I have to say. Please only send us voice messages if they're nice, I guess. This person was very nice, I feel the need to say, but it's kind of my worst nightmare to, like, open a voice message and it's somebody being like, I hate you.
Well, you know what? I was telling Sophie this earlier today, is that when we had the viral tweet in October, we got a swath of new listeners, many of them who are still with us today, who are beloved.
One of them is AJ.
One of them
our
is,
guest
is
today.
AJ, our guest.
I just spoiled who our guest is. You
but
read
them. We had a fair... We had a fair section of them who, and we've talked about this many times before, wanted us to just recap the books, and that's okay, but they did not like us. They commented mean things. They gave us bad iTunes reviews, etc. With the Uglies tweet that went viral and propelled us to many more listeners, that's a different type of person. And I think that it's a... the uglies, the average uglies reader falls in between the type of click reader that AJ is and that we are, and the type of click reader that just wants us to recap the book. So I feel confident that the uglies readers will get kind of our vibe.
Because at the end of the day, aren't we just two uglies who have a podcast?
Yeah. Definitionally. Scott Westerfield's We Are Uglies by his definition. And
yeah. And you know who's not an ugly is our guest today, who we're very excited to be joining us. We're so glad we could finally make this work. And I'm so excited for her to kind of enter the space. And like, we are going to talk the click today, which I think is going to be exciting for a lot of people. So our guest today is AJ Adey. She's a writer and one of the co-hosts of the Bitch podcast. AJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. I just got back from Whole Foods, so y'all know where I am mentally. I hope that gives a good picture.
Right, exactly.
Just like strolling the aisles of 1 million different types of vinaigrettes.
Of vinaigrettes, yes.
So many vinaigrettes.
Like soap that they weirdly just like have out, like they have like those like cake tiers of soap that you could just
that nobody buys. Although I will say, it's beauty week at Whole Foods right now.
What is
so
that
they're
mean?
Like 20% off like okay of, like, soap or something.
if I know correctly, you in your kind of professional life work in skincare, right?
I do.
So would you use the Whole Foods soaps? I feel like this is a good litmus test.
I mean, no, I wouldn't use the Whole Foods soaps.
Okay.
But, like, just because they're not particularly special, but I feel like that's kind of, like, antithetical to my actual skincare routine, because I feel like I use the most bland, like, face wash, the most bland moisturizers, just because I feel like that's what works best.
Right. Okay.
I don't need, like, the
and
bells
whole,
and
the
whistles.
Whole Foods thing is, like, it'll be, like, okay, here's a bar of soap, but we added, like a shit ton of like candy cane extract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like it's not necessary.
No, I also feel like they have the bath salts out as well, and I can only imagine like a teen who works at Whole Foods having to like painstakingly mix these bath salts.
Oh, they have to mix them themselves.
Day. That's what I'm. Maybe not.
Like
maybe
the employee
probably do just pour it out from a bag.
Like
but
in
I'm
the job description.
In the back.
Yeah, they're like, just so you know, you will be mixing bath salts. You need to be able to lift 25 pounds. You
and
need to be able to be on
salts.
Your feet for 8 hours, and you need to mix bath salts. Wow. Yeah. So that's good to know. I'm sure at the end, actually, I was planning to kind of grill you about
like
skincare and like specific products, just because it's like,
yeah, this can be that.
Yeah, like I've talked about it on the podcast before. I'm kind of dipping my toe into skincare over COVID. Like to give you a picture, a year ago, last March when I was like working 10 hours a day, like the only beauty product I had was Dr. Bronner's and I just used it for everything and I did not moisturize.
Whoa.
Like,
that's very, very concerning.
Yeah, so I'm on a journey where I'm like I kind of reached like a new equilibrium that I'm excited to kind of grill you on as to whether or not that's actually a good equilibrium.
Interesting.
But
okay.
First, we have to get to the matter at hand, which is that we want to talk about specifically representations of race in the clique, and your experience of reading these books, which is pretty different from Franny and I's, because Franny and I are obviously two white women. You are a black woman. We are overrepresented in the clique.
Yeah. By 100%. Almost.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Minus Alicia.
Minus Alicia, like...
Well, and we don't even...
Yeah, she could have been, like, white, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's... For all intents and purposes, we are offered... Yeah, like, she is a white Spanish person. Mm-hmm. So, first, I'm just gonna ask you, like... our basic guest question, which is like, what were you reading in middle school? This could include The Click and other books.
Oh my God. I was reading this. It's interesting because like past, like when you guys stopped doing The Click, which by the way, I didn't know there was backlash about that. That's so funny to me. Cause like you can only do so much Click.
Right.
Yeah. There's only so many, we can't like go over
right.
again.
Like
again.
If they're like, if they were looking for close readings, like cliff notes of The Click, honestly, like I feel like that would be some cool content to be offered in, like, a Patreon, but that's labor. Like, definitely they have to pay for that.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that the back half of the books is genuinely just, like, not worth your time.
Oh, no.
Like, as an adult. So it's,
no, absolutely not. Yeah.
Like, just don't even bother. If you want recapitulations, listen to the first few on audiobook.
Yeah. It's, okay. Mm-hmm. See, exactly that. Like, you can only have so much click. And I read, well, actually, I bring that up because I've never seen Pretty Little Liars. Like, I stopped consuming content that most, like, people on their YA journey continue to go forth and consume just because it got to a point where I was like, I mean, this is just, like, white women, like, in drama and stuff. So, like, it just stopped being something that was relevant to me. But in middle school, I was 100% reading The Click. I was reading Candy Apple books. Anytime I mention those, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I looked up some covers of it today, and I certainly have read... I've definitely read a Christmas-themed Candy Apple book.
Yeah,
the covers are very iconic.
They're very iconic. They're also, like, I feel like they were on library shelves. Like, if you go to the YA section, which is exactly the first place that I went when I went to libraries, because I wanted to read stories about girlhood. I don't know. Like, I don't have any sisters. I also, like, don't feel like I knew much about American girlhood because I'm Ghanaian and, like, I'm raised by two people that, like, grew up in Ghana, in Africa, like, in West Africa. So it doesn't, so all my, like, accounts on, like, you know, getting your first period and stuff like that came from a Judy Blume book. And, like, I used to read Junie B. Jones. Like, I would read stories and, like, the main character was always just, like, a white woman. So I, like, we'll get into that, but I was reading that.
Right.
For sure. Which Judy Blume book? That's the, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret? Yeah.
And
she, like, that's like, an interesting thing, because I think that, like, that form of YA, which, like, I don't know, like, I feel like my mom read Judy Blume when she was going up. Yeah. It's, and it's, like, definitely in like, it's very, like, not granola, but there's a lot of dealing with actual real issues. Versus, like, the YA that I feel like we were all kind of subjected to, like, growing up in the early 2000s is all The Click. Like, it's
they just, like, ignored it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I do remember there was a Judy Blume book in which, like, she has a black neighbor. Like, it's this white girl who has a black neighbor. And, like, and I think I read this in college, like, in an English class. like, I did, like, a presentation. By the way, I graduated from college, like, in December and everything, and I had an English minor, so I kind of relate to thank you.
Yes.
I kind of relate.
Yeah.
While I was a biology major, I was an English minor. I actually wanted to go to college for English, but my parents wouldn't let me. they were like, why would you want to do that? So I could have a really cool podcast. Like, why not?
Give me a little bit of insight. What really piqued my interest is when you said that you consciously, after, you know, middle school, you consciously turned away from The Click slash Pretty Little Liars type books because you were overwhelmed by the, like, the universe of whiteness. So what did you turn to?
Oh, that's such a good question. I do not identify as someone that has a good taste in, like, anything that is, like, a movie.
Honey,
or
you're on our podcast. Welcome.
Listen, like, I watch Riverdale weekly. That's, like, my biggest...
Me too.
Wait, did you watch yesterday's episode?
Yes, okay. Last night's episode. Wait, hold on. We need to... I'm sure our listeners are interested to hear about Riverdale just for a second. So, okay. Do you think the Mothman thing is... is, like, do you think it's actually aliens? Do you think we're getting real supernatural this season?
No, because every time they, like, asymptotically approach, like, you know, like, something that could be supernatural, it just ends up being, like, some lonely guy.
Someone's
no,
dad.
Literally, it's, like, not making sense anymore.
Yeah.
So tell me...
Is it, like, a Scooby-Doo, like, level of, like...
It could be, and it honestly... That's actually a theory that works because everything
Pop from Pop's chocolate.
Yeah, because
who else would be Pop?
Too, like, they're centering a little too much on Pop for him to not be the Mothman.
That is so true. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I should talk about like, this. Mitch, like, I don't know if I should.
Is Mr. Weatherby in it? Is that character?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The principal.
Yes.
Is he, like, hot or is he just bald?
No, he's just
He's
bald.
Just bald.
Ew.
Yeah. He's like,
okay, good.
He doesn't do anything.
He really does not even run the school, like, whatsoever.
No. Archie runs the school, if we're being honest.
He's trying to run every damn thing that comes across. Like, it's not that deep.
I gotta be real that KJ Apa scares me. As
he's terrifying.
Being.
He's
the
huge.
Way that he looks.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
He's not redheaded, is he?
Why? He's not a real redhead. Why does Archie have to be captain of the fire department, too?
And, like, a sergeant that, like, almost died. And, like, his friend. And this weird army commentary.
That was too much for me. I was like, stop trying to glorify the army and be like, but we need the VA at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like it's
what,
not
nobody
working.
Nobody asked for that type of commentary.
So we got on this topic because you were saying, you were prefacing talking about the books you moved on to post the click by saying that,
oh, yeah, I have
you know,
bad taste.
You quote
yeah.
unquote don't have taste.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Riverdale is what I watch, like, but that's like, okay, whatever. But I mean, I started watching things like Dear White People. I started basically, you know, just things with black people in it.
Yeah.
Like, I just, literally the fact that there's no black people in the clique. But I guess it makes sense, though, because they live in Westchester-ish, right? My roommate from college lived right near there, and I went to go visit once, and I can confirm that the clique is very accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I mean, yeah, I think it's, you know, because when we had Lisey on, and we kind of talked about the ways that we think about, like, writing responsibly now versus writing responsibly in 2004, which was not writing responsibly. and especially for kids, she was, you know, her main thing was that, like, we just didn't think about that back then. Like, I was a young person in New York working what seemed to be, like, a pretty, like, the kind of job where you're surrounded by a lot of people who come from privilege, come from wealth. She's just like, I didn't think about those things back then.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, because we talked about this on our Uglies episode on the Patreon, but in Uglies, like, which was written in, like, 2006, they make a reference to, like, racism without saying the word racism. And they're like, because it's, like, in a dystopian future, they're like, people used to kill each other, like, over their skin tone. And,
oh,
like,
God.
We were talking, and it's kind of like, my theory on that is that in the 2000s, like, authors were so afraid
to
maybe say anything about race that they just ended up, you know, not saying anything at all, which is kind of worse.
Well, the thing about it is that, like, I feel like if you were reading YA as a young black girl, you didn't expect to see yourself in it. Like, I hold the clique so dearly to my heart. I hold all of those Candy Apple books. I read almost all of them. And they were just, like, the stupidest topics, like, girl, like, plays on the soccer team, or girl likes a boy and has 10 days to, like, become a girly girl, or, it, like, they were just so stupid, but they were my, like, the only glimpse of, like, girlhood that I had, so I'm so grateful, like, I really, that's when, it just felt like a completely different world, in which you just sort of got a glimpse into, oh, like, this is what happened, like, you know, you're reading about 12-year-olds and you're, like, in fifth grade, and they just seem so much older because they have lockers and they can run for class president and stuff like that. And it was such a wonderful fantasy to be in. So at the time, it's not like I was reading critically. It's not like I was, like, reading through a critical gender lens or anything like that.
Right.
Like, I literally just really, and also the fact that with some of these characters, they didn't necessarily talk about, like, what they looked like as much, which, like, kind of helped, because in my mind, some of these characters just wouldn't be white. They would be, like, I would picture them as just, like, when they talk about their cousin, well, all my cousins live in Ghana. So when I think of, like, distant family, I think of family in a different continent. So it was an interesting way to sort of, what is the racial equivalent of queering?
Right.
Like, whatever that is.
Yeah, I guess racializing.
Yeah.
Racializing.
But it also gave me a way to glimpse into whiteness, which I think is very, very fascinating. Or at the time.
Right.
Because
did you read any And did you, were there any YA books that you read that, like, had, like, a predominantly, like, black, like, cast or a black main character?
No. I don't, none come to mind.
Wow, yeah.
But, it, like, I was also reading far ahead of my level. Not right. to be, like, I was, right. you know, reading far ahead of my level, but well,
congratulations. Congratulations.
I, like, when I was in, I don't know, like, middle elementary school, I was reading about, like, middle schoolers, and I just thought it was so cool because they were older. They were the people that I wanted to be. Like, my some of my friends were older, and it just seemed so much cooler. You know, you'd watch a Disney Channel original movie, and they have, like, boyfriends and stuff. Like, it was genuinely just, like, me getting the like, I would be reading these books all the time. Like, I wanted to be anywhere but where yeah. I was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
For sure.
Let's maybe, because something that we talk about a lot with the Click is the kind of the aspirationalism mm-hmm. that it brings to us. And, like, I don't know, can we talk about that in relation to race, maybe? Is, like, the fact that these white girls are being put on a pedestal as, like, she's a brat and she can have whatever she wants, but, like, at the end of the day, like, she's, like, just mm-hmm. a little girl, like, working yeah. things out.
Yeah.
And the mm-hmm. sort of, yeah.
I think
just
that
can
makes
speak
it
on that.
What was so, that's what made it so, like, fantasy to me, is because, like, in no world would, I mean, there are already unrealistic books, like, The Click is already a very unrealistic, like, mm-hmm. setting, but I'm sure that, like, you would be able to name people that are sort of like these characters, or you could imagine a setting in which, like, these characters could exist. I don't think I could have imagined a world in which these characters would have existed. Like, it was sort of a way of not only fiction but also fantasy. It was yeah. really interesting because, like, those you guys talk a lot about Lisey's sort of, like, aloofness, like, It's like its mm-hmm. own little secluded world, and it's just so, like, unrealistic to me that it was so much fun to read. Like, and mm-hmm. these were really, yeah. like, bad bitches, like, just really doing their thing.
Yes.
But,
yeah. Sure. And that's interesting because it's, like, there's, you know, yeah, like you're saying, like, even as mm-hmm. white readers, we feel so alienated from that world. So adding in, like, obviously, like, another level
right.
there. Like, I can't think of, it's interesting that The Click appealed to so many people when it probably was directly relatable to almost
right.
none of its readers.
And that's what made it so, like, I don't know, it was an interesting experience because at the time I really enjoyed reading them, but I don't think I would have realized, I mean, obviously, like, I wasn't a critical thinker as, like, an 8-year-old in the way that I am now. But I think what makes it so interesting is that you're able to retroactively look back and see that, like, all of that reading is sort of what has instilled, like, anti-blackness in your mind. Because there's a lot of beauty when you're, like, conversation about beauty when you're younger, because everyone's just super insecure. And so there's just a lot of, they talk about, like, the popular girl, which, I mean, nobody looks like, but... I was just so far removed from what that looked like that mm. there was a lot of, like, a lot of anti-blackness in ways that, like, these authors didn't know that they were writing into, such as making the yeah. most beautiful, most aspirational girl in the novel this skinny white girl that, like, you know, played on the volleyball team. I remember I asked my mom, like, can I play on a volleyball team? And she was like, do you have volleyball team money? The way I was, like, 12 years old. I was like, okay. Like, there was so, like, you read these books and you want to do things like the characters. I think that's why we all read The Click, because we also all wanted to be Massey. Like, we were LBRs. Yes. And, like, and Lisey wrote it in such a way that's like, by the way, bitch, you're one of these people that we're talking about, that Massey's
yeah.
talking about. So right. knowing that, like, if Lane couldn't make it, and I thought Lane was pretty damn cool, which we all know Lane is, like, the best character, then there's no
yeah.
way in hell I, as, like, a dark-skinned black girl, was, like, I knew that that was the quintessential girl, and I was not. Especially the way they just talked about, like,
totally
girls that, like, you know, just minded their business.
Yeah.
I was like, wait,
right.
I can't do that either.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
like,
would be that would definitely be all of us, like the characters who, like, once in a while Matthew will be like, oh, this girl is so lame.
Strawberry and Corey.
What makes this whole discussion so interesting is that it's not just like, it's not just, okay, these girls were white and I wasn't, so it's a different experience and like a different story, or these girls were, had what I didn't have, which, like, I mean, a lot of them are super rich, so they had what, like, many of us didn't have. But it's like, it goes more than just what they look like. It's that these are such formative years, like, when you're reading these books. Like, there's a reason why you turn to a genre like YA. You turn to a genre like YA because you're lonely. Or just because, you know, you just need to read. You just need a story. I mean, I guess that's, like, why most people read. But you turn to YA because you need a story about something that is close to you. If this is the closest thing that I can get to myself without having to, like, traumatize myself and read, like, 12 Years a Slave or something, like, even just, like, remembering that I was super into those American Girl magazines, and then I found out about the dolls, and I was like, oh my god, like, let me get myself a doll. First of all, those dolls were, like, $9,000. Second of all, the only doll was, like, a slave girl.
Yeah, literally.
I was the American Girl podcast kind of talked about that.
Wow, that's iconic.
Yeah, with the Addie character, because it's like, what, and then even like getting kind of into like the ethics of what does it mean when the only like black doll that you're selling, that you are making money off of, like,
is literally like a slave. Honestly, like, wow.
Yeah.
And they write these little, like,
the accompanying books, and then they're just like, Addie is like, and I don't know what it is, right? Like, I don't know what it is about the name Addie, but they stay making the black girl in every book named Addie, and I don't understand. That's literally, and it's so sad, because, like, that's my mom's name. I mean, her name is Adelaide, which I think is a very beautiful name. Shout out to my mom.
Yeah, that's a pretty name.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's the, it's like, that really is the double-edged sword, and we were talking about this on our Patreon episode of YA Lit, and, like, we're only just now getting, like, YA lit books, and they're all written by black authors, because black authors are just now getting YA lit contracts in, like, a large enough margin to make it, you know, recognizable to people like me, who are the white mainstream. Like, to get stories that are about anything but slavery for young adults. And so, like, when you have these two contrasting things where it's like, okay, we have two types of YA lit. We have the sort of aspirational, like, fun, pulpy, read it, you know, to escape. And then we have the things that were often assigned, like, in schools with, like, maybe a little bit more serious subject matter. And so we have a division there. And when we were young, I think we've all pretty much basically come to the conclusion that, like, everything we were seeing on the shelves, for the most part, was white. In that escapist section. And then we get to the other section, which is these, like, true to life stories. And
they're fucking a lot sad.
Of any sort of, yeah, where it's like, yeah, it represents, like, you know, black characters, yeah, or brown like characters, or any character that's not white.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yes, as suffering, like, existence being, and, like, any sort of, like, we get a lot of disability narratives in young adult lit that's considered more prestige-y that are horrifying.
I think ultimately, like, what that kind of gets into, and I hope that this is the way that we are going to see the publishing industry move going forward, is that what would a child rather read? A book like The Click versus, like, a book, like, about, like, you know, basically unspeakable horrors. Like, you're like, AJ, like you said, you're coming to lit to escape.
That's so awkward.
You're not coming to, like, and mostly as a, you know, obviously as an adult, like, there's, like, different, you know, reasons, because our brains are more fully developed that we read. But as a child, it's like, yeah, no, you're not going to want to read a book about,
yeah. It's really awkward, too, like, when you're eight, and then you're like, yeah, it's, like, a black girl, and then it's, like, about slavery. It's like, whoa, wait, this happened? Like, it's so, it's very strange, but that kind of reminds me, your question, Franny, like, makes me think of the fact that, which is a very buried memory that I am just now uncovering, is that I used to write YA lit, like, on when I was like eight. Like, I just kind of wrote my own stories. Like, literally the family computer was in my room. I knew how to use Microsoft Word. I would just write my own stories that were just like what I read. So I wouldn't call it YA lit. It's just like kind of recreations of like the books that I read. But like in retrospect, I don't think those characters were black.
Wow.
I think they were also the white girls that I read in the stories, which just makes me realize that it's just kind of like when people say representation is so important, sometimes I'm just like, okay, yeah, but like that's not the only thing that matters. Like, you know, like we have to do mutual aid and like put shit back into the community and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, that's nice. But like when you're like eight, representation is like all that kind of matters. But it's interesting because I love these books. Like, I love them so dearly because they're all that I had. But I guess what I'm saying is that
better. What's interesting too, like, because hearing you say this too, like, obviously, like, as a young black girl, like, you're not gonna want to read like a book about like a slave or whatever. And I think that what this is kind of making me think is that maybe a lot of those books that are like seen as quote unquote representation are for, you know, white readers, or like Sophie, the one with about the girl with MS, like that is for a reader who does not have MS. Like, they're kind of more of like a, not exploitative, but like a voyeuristic
100%
look.
That's the thing, like, I think that voyeurism is something that we develop in that, like, in that middle school age range. And I think that it is, like, for people, especially, like, someone like myself who, you know, grew up obviously white, very privileged, like, in a two-parent household and was, like, going to a school district that was majority white. Like, you kind of want those, like, real life, like, you're like, oh, like, read about, like, the dark of it all. It's like the same kind of sick impulse that, no, I shouldn't say sick impulse, that's a strong word, but it's the same kind of impulse that I believe draws people into true crime in a way, where you're like, I live a comfortable life and this is how I kind of activate my nervous system to like engage with danger, and it like feels good sometimes. And I think that it's 100%, like, everything is the white gaze when we're talking about like this sort of literature. Yes,
like anything. And it makes me realize like that it's not even just YA's fault, it's really just like all of reading.
Well, it's capitalism's fault.
All of literature. Like, literally, because I mean, I also read like Harry Potter when I was really young, and like JK Rowling.
Yeah, we saw how that turned like, out.
It's just JK Rowling. And so like it made like, because at the time, I'm reading it, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then we go back and we see some of the issues. Like, the only Asian character being Cho Chang. That fucking kills me. Like, why, JK?
Right, but when that's your only model as a child, it's like, when you're a child, you're reading a book and you know that book has been written by an adult. So there's a sort of implicit trust in you picking up the book as being like, well, this person, you know, they kind of have you in the palm of your hand, of their hand, and like you trust them to be smarter than you.
Like, but I don't know. I really think that if this is what was in JK Rowling's head, if this is who she is, and she trusted us and we trusted her to create this whole world, because that's what they're creating essentially. Like, the clique has a world, like the State of Union, and then, like, well, I guess, honestly, like, does the clique have
100%.
Westchester.
The
clique. Wait, I'm struggling. Oh, like, Gossip Girl and stuff. Yeah. I'm struggling to remember everything that's, like, very, very cliquey, though.
The language. Like,
when I think of the characters, I think of the movie. iPad. Like, I think of, like, Claire as the Claire in the movie. Yes. I also want to say, let me just get on the record and say this about the iPad. I also noticed back then, like, that leads you into the iPad, because I remember being, like, 11 and, like, rereading a clique book, and I'm like, wait, this is before our time, like, this is literally, like, not, like, it's she like invented it, and I, like, tried to explain this to someone, and they did not believe me, and I was, like, 13,
be silenced.
Like, no, like,
we're essentially, like, we like really readers are, like, kind of, like, we're, like, QAnon for, like, we're truthers about, like, Lacey inventing the iPad, which she did, and I believe
that
somehow Steve Jobs...
Our minds are all, like...
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, Steve Johnson
Steve
did
invent the iPad, I'll tell you that.
He didn't invent the iPad. He somehow, you know, we don't know what Steve Jobs was reading. He could have been reading The Click.
Honestly, I was going to say we should guest him, but then I just realized when he's Steve Jobs.
We can do a seance with him. We can do a seance and have him and Lisi, like, confront each other, like, about who is the owner of the iPad.
Oh my god, that would be iconic. Steve Jobs versus Lisi. If you guys do make merch, which you do have merch.
We have a sticker.
I need one of those magnets.
We're making some more soon.
Oh, wait, you don't
They
have
might
magnets?
Be magnets, too. I think it's like a Redbubble thing where you can make it into kind of, like, anything you want. You can make it into
leggings, technically, if you wanted to.
Leggings. Like, yeah, it's just, right. like, the picture, though, like, a square, like, on the legging. If you guys do make more merch, you should totally make Lisi.
Oh, that's a really
iPad.
Good idea.
Like,
okay.
A little button.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. And you'd only understand, or like Lisi mm-hmm. Harrison invented the iPad. You'd only understand. It's like one of those things where you smell Glossier. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like,
and
on
you're
the
like,
train, and you're like, someone's yeah. wearing Glossier. Yeah. And it's like when you're wearing Glossier, you like, that's because you're like a real
right.
Glossier fan.
Yeah.
So if someone recognized your Lisi invented the iPad yeah. button, there you go.
Right.
Two baddest bitches
the two baddest yeah. bitches in the room. And they're both ironically wearing glossy AU too, because that would be very like sort yeah. of typical of our listener. Yeah.
I also want to say that I didn't have siblings. I have a whole I didn't have sisters. I didn't have sisters or little siblings. Yeah. I was the little sister, which is why like I felt so represented in these books. Because I feel like the people were like little sisters a lot.
Yeah.
I really, or only mm-hmm. children. Also, let's talk about the family
let's
dynamics
do it.
In these books too.
For sure.
I remember, like, it was just so unrealistic. There were no problems. The parents were so supportive. Like, they really just, like, they grew up with no problems. Like, their biggest problem was like, oh, like, this boy might not like me. Or like, I don't have like shoes that like the popular girl's
yeah.
wearing. Like, that was really their biggest problems. I really feel like in The Click, though, they were, like, really exaggerated because their biggest problems were, like, I'm starring on, like, a TV show tonight and, like, or I'm going camping on Lake Placid.
And I can't bring all of my electronics.
I think it's the most iconic one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't bring,
yes.
like, all of, like, my shampoos
right.
and stuff.
We're strong believers that that's the best one. What is that?
Yeah, that is the
and
best
I forget
one.
Its name, so I'm not really proving my fandom.
Oh,
like,
I don't remember.
The one of the Wannabes. Yeah.
I don't remember any of the titles. None of them. They were just so long.
And they don't really relate to the content of the book most of the time, so.
Yeah, and the girls on the front weren't, like, the girls.
No, they were not
the
girls.
Like, they were different each time.
I'm thinking maybe this is, like, similar to, like, when you're bringing up, like, the family situations, like, other than Kristen, I guess, who obviously you don't see her point of view, like, the parents were not really present or, like, talked about.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, they would be, like, strict or anything. Like, the parents pretty much let them do their own
right.
thing. So that's yet another way in which it is escapist, because I'm sure all of us reading it had,
yeah.
had parents who would notice if we, like, put on a bunch more makeup one day or, like, you know,
right.
were suddenly, like,
yeah.
carrying a purse to school or something like that.
Exactly. I think what made it so different to me is that, like, they, like, the family dynamics were just so American. Like, these books were also just so American. So
yeah.
if you, like, were an immigrant, like, you were automatically just, like, out.
Yeah, you
like,
were not.
These books are just, like, not for you. But, like, these books were, like, the family dynamics were just so, like, nuclear. Mm-hmm. There was a mother and a father, and, like, the father, like, you know, made witty lines, and then the mother was super caring, and there's probably, like, an annoying little brother or, like, an older sister that has, like, wisdom or
right.
something. And I think that, like, these are just, in a way, like, very similar to, like, the movies we were watching back then, like, all the Disney Channel original movies that came on and stuff. To me, like, it was such an interesting glimpse into the world of whiteness, because you equate whiteness with, like, the standard, then after that, you go ahead and you, like, continue to start applying that to everything around you. And it's just, you get to a point where you're reading these books and you're like, these books are no longer serving me. And I think that's when I made, like, the conscious, like, effort to just kind of put them aside.
Yeah.
Now I do reread The Click on my Kindle, but as a form of nostalgia.
Right.
And
I feel like when we do that, we can kind of remove our, like, selves and, like, the deep, like, inner child that sort of needs to be protected from the equation. So this is, like, and it's okay if the answer to this question is no, but do you think that in reading these books and sort of, like, absorbing whiteness and what you say as Americanness through the text, like, did it change your behaviors?
Absolutely. I became very, very hyper focused and interested on the way beauty was spoken about. Which in a way I think is why I work in the like skincare industry as a scientist currently. Like it's literally like a whole like journey, I guess. Like I would read these books and I remember particularly, do you remember that packing list that they had in the Click? Like everything the iconic list.
We literally were gonna I don't know if we can legally do this with merch, but we were thinking, I think someone suggested this
to put the list
on like a tote bag, because that I literally also like we've had so many guests too who have been like, when I would do a packing list, like I would like
Yes. That list is very, very important. Yeah. I would like look at what Massey was using and look up those products and like I'd never heard of them. Yeah. She would use like the most expensive products in the whole world.
Yeah.
I would look up those products. I was so interested in the way that they talked about beauty because this was sort of like a guide to like, okay, this is how like a really like beautiful girl takes care of herself. And so I became very interested in that. Then I looked at myself and I was like, well, damn, like
that
I guess I need to do that.
I definitely remember going to the mall like after reading one of these books and going to Sephora and like truly like seeing like, well, can I buy like a philosophy sample, can I buy a Bumble and Bumble sample, like truly like like gone into the like exact brand names of those.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, I just really can't believe these people were living like that. Like, to this day, I still very much just, like, I watch the movie and it just doesn't look real. No. Also, like, you know for a fact this was a white-ass school, because if it was really anyone else that Massey was talking to like that, she would get clapped immediately.
And you know what I'm thinking, too? And I think, obviously, knowing kind of her history, this answers itself. But Tyra did produce the Click movie, right?
She did!
And she didn't put any... There's no black characters in it still. And I say that knowing that Tyra is, like, not, like... She's obviously not at the forefront of, like...
The speaker of, like, the revolution. Yeah. No.
Tyra speaks for all black people, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, Tyra's a bird, as we all know. Yeah. So, like, I, like... I mean, she produced the movie, right? Yeah. I don't see why she would introduce any black characters. Honestly, I feel like that would throw off the entire balance, like, of the Click universe.
She's if the ratio of whiteness. Member.
And she's black.
There's a six and Click member. No, yeah, she's black. Her name is Tyra. like, and she's 20 years older than everyone, but she's a model, and she's really cool.
No, like, but the casting is so interesting, like, Bridget Mendler.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah. What's her name? Jade from Victorious was that one girl in the hallway with the party.
Yeah, she's like Shelby.
She was like the eighth grader.
Shelby something.
Yeah. And literally April from Gilmore Girls is in it too. Like Luke's daughter on Gilmore Girls.
Actually,
she's Rain,
Gilmore, so I think.
Laura Murano.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's
Austin and Allie.
Oh my god, who is she? Yeah, no, who is she in the movie?
She's Lane.
She's Lane. Yeah. No, she's not.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's not.
Oh, you know who? You know, it's not Laura Murano. It's Vanessa Murano, Laura Murano's older sister, who was on Switched at Birth.
What? There's two of them.
There's two of them.
But and she is on Gilmore Girls.
Okay,
she's the worst character on Gilmore Girls.
Sorry, this
how
is
many
like
freaking girls are in this family? The Murano,
the Muranos,
the Murano dynasty,
a beautiful Italian family from like the East Coast, probably.
She was one.
Yes, Vanessa Murano. Sorry to the Murano sisters.
Sorry to the Murano sisters.
For mixing y'all up. Yeah, so I think, like, that's a good point where it's, like, it wouldn't, like, if they would have, like, okay, what, like, if there would have been a black character in this book, especially this book written by Lisey, It's
the
like,
way I would not even read it.
Yeah.
Because the way she talked about Kristen, oh my god. I do not need Lisey writing about black people. No. I'm so sorry, Lisey, if you're listening. I love you so much, by the way.
No, but it's true.
No. Because Kristen would be like, Kristen was fine.
Right.
That's honestly my, like,
but it's
two
like,
cents. Kristen was fine.
Even Kristen, who was, like, so much more privileged than any of us, you know what I mean? Even the reader, like, yeah. Kristen holds a...
we felt bad for her, though.
Yeah, but it's, like, Kristen is basically, by the back half of the books, like, written out. Like, the narrative is so uninterested in Kristen.
Yeah.
We talked to Lisey recently, and I hope she won't mind me revealing this in conversation, but we were having a private chat with Lisey, and she forgot that Kristen existed.
Oh my god.
Like,
Not you, Lisey.
Like, that is how disinterested she is in like, the quote-unquote poor character who's, like, dad is still pulling six figures.
We're not coming to the click, though. I think that's the thing is, like, Claire at least... Yeah, well, and Claire has, like, the Cinderella story of, like, getting to, like, be rich like Massey. Like, I don't know, she, like, lives in... even if her parents aren't rich, she's living in the guest house, like, she's on the estate, you know? And then Kristen, it's like, you know, we, as a child, unfortunately, you're not coming to the click to read about a character who is like you. You're coming to read about, like, you know.
About Massey.
Yeah.
I also never wanted to be Massey. I take that back. I never wanted to be Massey. She was just really annoying and, like, yeah, you know, we all know what's not cool about Massey. But I think I wanted to be Lane. Like, I love oatmeal so much. Like, I ate oatmeal for breakfast every morning, like, growing up. I actually take back, though, what I said about taking back what I said about Massey, because the whole reason why I'm even, like, being a scientist in the skincare industry is because Massey was making Glossip Girls. I mean, not Glossip Girls, like, the, what did she call that?
The one that gave people,
allergic
reactions.
What was that called?
That's gonna bother me.
It was really corny, too.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. Glambition? Was it
Glambition?
It was literally in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, Glambition. I thought that was so cool, and that just, like, made me think, like, what is in our, like, lip gloss? Because, like, she put the oatmeal on her face, and, like, it got better, and I was like, wait, there's something happening here. So I just stuck to that.
AJ, your Candy Apple book interest, it piqued my interest so much. And I was curious if at some point during the show I could quiz you on the titles of some Candy Apple books and you could just give me a basic plot rundown, because I am very curious about some of them.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready. This is
You're
great.
Ready?
I think I can do this. I'm not sure, but let's do it.
Here's the one that I read. I remember I read Confessions of a Bitter Secret Santa is the one that
okay,
I read.
Let me look at the title for that.
And,
the cover, I mean, not the title.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this. It's basically like Scrooge, but like YA. You know when they try and like make it like Scrooge? It's like when Riverdale, like they talk about a book and then like the plot ends up being like that book. Or just like any Netflix original movie, like they're in English class and they're like, this is the Scarlet Letter. Has anyone read this book? Yeah, like that.
It's always very convenient that the book that they're reading in class
is the
directly
plot.
Relates
That's
to...
That's mad lazy.
The one that I was very
book.
Interested in was How to Be a Girly Girl in 10 Days.
Okay, this one was my first Candy Apple book.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The first bite of the Candy
yeah,
Apple.
Yeah, this is my first bite. And I read this, like, so many times that, like, the cover was falling off, like, because I needed to know. I needed to know how
to like, how?
We'll have to have you on again for a Candy Apple episode, because I'm very intrigued by these, because I always,
you
the
guys
covers are very
these.
Iconic.
Yeah, they're beautiful. This book was about a girl that, like, was on the basketball team, and she had a crush on this guy who was, like, new in town. And she was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to make him, like, my boyfriend or whatever. She's, like, in sixth grade, as they all are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, the popular girl, like needs her help or something. So she teaches her how to be, like, hot or whatever. And then, like, get the guy. And then she gets the guy.
That's incredible.
Teaching
us
the good stuff.
Wait, that's
What
actually...
about, AJ, can you tell me about Miss Popularity Goes Camping?
Oh, well, it's like the prequel Miss Popularity, but this time they're camping.
There's one called just Miss Popularity. Yeah.
It's in the Miss Popularity cinematic universe.
I actually think there's a black girl in there.
She's also camping.
Which, that's how you know that this is not written by white people. I mean, black so people.
Oh, sorry. I have one more that I need to ask about. And it is the sweetheart deal.
Is that the Valentine's Day one?
It has, on the cover of it, is a girl dressing, holding up like a polo shirt and jeans to a guy who is wearing a hoodie and khakis.
Let me see. The sweetheart deal. See, the only reason why I even have these books is because my mom's a teacher, so.
Oh my gosh, and there's a third Miss Popularity. There's Miss Popularity and the Best Friend Disaster.
Oh, I remember the sweetheart deal. Okay, it's basically like the popular girl like gives some guy a makeover.
But not Miss Popularity.
But not Miss Popularity, no.
It's a popular girl, but it's not Miss Popularity.
Yes, and you know she's always a popular girl because she's always wearing like a hat, like that like golfer hat.
What?
Like, yeah, it's like a Kangol or whatever.
Yeah, like your uncle has.
No, absolutely
yeah,
not.
She looks like she's gonna go golfing or something.
Yeah.
I, like, lost a friendship in college over telling a girl who was wearing one of those that it looked stupid and that she should take it off before we went and got lunch.
You shouldn't be friends with those people. You're doing her, like, a favor.
Yeah, so I think that we got to a pretty good place in this conversation and that, like, and it kind of reminds me of our conversation with Harry Hill, too, which is that you feel thankful for these books while also being able to be like, but they probably did some harm and, like, obviously, you know, are harmful.
Right.
So my question would be, like, you have, let's say you have a daughter.
Ugh. In this economy?
Is she... Yeah, but I mean, you know, take all of those things out of it. Is she reading these books?
I don't know how I feel about, like, policing my child.
I would
let her read the books. I think it's one of those, like, coming of age situations where, like, you read a book and then you realize things, like, these books didn't just teach me about the situations going on. They just taught me how, like, different I am from everyone else and, like what privileges aren't afforded to me, like, subconsciously, not like I finished the books and I'm like, yeah, so that was a good commentary. Yeah, no. But, like, they did mold my, like, experience and they gave me a lot of insight, too, into, like, how everyone else was living, which is strangely important. And I also do feel like if these authors did have black characters, like we said earlier, they just wouldn't write them responsibly.
Right.
But they weren't giving, like, a platform to just black YA authors anyway. So it's just kind of like, this is YA. So you're asking,
right,
would I let her read YA, essentially? And if this is YA, then I'm sure she'll learn a thing or two. I don't know.
Totally, yeah.
That's interesting, too, in that, like, YA is, like, just the way that, like, it has evolved. It's, like, it got to the point where, like, I don't know, that whole, like, supernatural sect, too. It's, like, it's not interesting. I guess this is what society is, but it's, like, okay, we're gonna write about, like, vampires and werewolves before we're gonna, like, let, like, non-white authors kind of.
And I've been on Wattpad.
Right.
Or is it Wattpad?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
Wattpad. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've been around the corners. That's
no,
like
Wattpad
the darkest
is...
corner.
We've talked about this before, but, you know, the whole TikTok, and AJ, you don't know about this, but shifting. Which
I actually
is
heard about
think
that.
They're going to an alternate dimension.
Is that real?
Yeah.
No, but yes.
No, it's like, I believe that these people are having,
like,
meditative experiences, but
like
I don't believe that they're going to a universe where they are, like, fucking Fred Weasley. But this girl wrote about her experiences,
birthing Sirius Black's child.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, I'm pregnant now, like, and now, like, blah, 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 like, but this was all documented on Wattpad.
Before we go, AJ... is, like, give us a little pluggy plug.
Yeah,
tell
you can
people
find
where to
me,
find you.
Like, just talking to myself on Twitter. Actually, don't find me there. Find me on Instagram at @dropdeadaj, which is a name that I made when I was 11 for my Instagram, but I really feel like it captures the essence.
Amazing.
I don't know why it does, but yeah. my boss, like, asked for my Instagram, and I was like, it's drop dead AJ, and she, like, made a face, and I was like, I guess I should change that. But I'm not, because, you know, the nostalgia. But find me there.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, yeah.
I write a monthly newsletter about, like, stuff, you know, ethics, fashion, design, beauty, what I'm thinking, what I'm reading, and stuff like that, at ajiswriting.com. And, yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, yeah, the podcast, Bitch Pod, BTCHPOD. Find me and Annika there, just really just shooting the shit. Honestly, you will not find quality content on there. You won't find, like, which is why, like, I feel like my interview was all, not interview, but, like, conversation was all over the place, because that's just, like, we have no structure on our podcast. So, yeah.
We love it.
No, that's what I think we wanted for this up, because, like, obviously, like, we don't need to, like, kind of, like, recapitulate, like, the click, like, to talk. I think that this was a good way to frame this kind of discussion. Like, I'm glad that we didn't just go for, like, just, like, reading a random book. Though we will be having you back for a Candy Apple book.
Yes.
I'm gonna scour the...
We'll do the reading.
...scores of the Candy Apple.
We'll do the reading.
Yes.
We'll do the reading.
Honestly, a Candy Apple book would be a treat, because I bet that they are 70
pages long. That's why I read them too. They were that easy. Like, a book report would be 2 hours.
It's like a book that you can put down on your, like, summer library reading challenge thing, where you're like, I read it. Like,
I read it 6 times. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, awesome. This has been so much fun. AJ, thank you for cementing your piece in
I knew I
the
had
beautiful
to.
History of our
I,
podcast.
Like, the first
you.
Day
you
I,
had to.
I, which I saw y'all from the first viral tweet, I was like, I have to. A Capricorn moon.
That was truly
I have to say that, like, seeing us you talk about us, like, in, like, your, like, newsletter video, like, that, like, made me so happy. And that was such, like, a because that was what has been so nice about growing this community, is, like, oh my gosh, like, we're everyone who, like, is engaging with us is like so cool, and, like, people who we would be friends with in real life.
But,
well, it's like, it's so it's been really great, and, like, that was, like, a great moment of that. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I feel very blessed to have kind of these types of people in my community who are also, like,
I feel
think
happy
the
to
same
be
way
here.
That we do
Pisces,
about this.
Yeah. I will, like, break down and cry.
Yeah.
And, like, it's the first day of my period.
Whoa.
I really break down and cry.
It's all happening. So it's all happening.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you can find us at Girls Like Us Show on Instagram and Twitter. You can look at our website, girlslikeus.show. And you can check out our sorority sister podcast at frolic.media/podcast. And our theme music is by the wickedly talented one and only Cincinnati band Leggy. Check them out. And we'll see you guys next week. Turn out all right. The future shines.